The 2024 Sonia O'Sullivan Cove 10-mile road race was one for the ages. In her prime, the GOAT struck fear into the hearts of other runners. If they were warming up on the training track, headed one direction, she'd run the other to see if they'd chicken out and change lanes. Well, this past Sunday, she seemed to do the exact same thing with Storm Kathleen. We were told to expect biblical rain and wind, but Kathleen must have heard that Sonia and her squad were going to be taking on the hills in aid of Breakthrough Cancer Research and Ballymore Cove Athletic Club. And Kathleen stepped aside and the sun split the stones. Today on Irishman Running Abroad, I take you inside the race to gather all the atmosphere and the stories from Sonia's hand-picked squad of heroes. If you've been listening to the podcast since Christmas, you'll have followed each of their journeys, witnessed their highs and lows, heard their voice notes, as they followed Sonia's training plan. Did the hard work pay off, or did the shore breeze blow them away? It's time to find out.
O'Sullivan testing the Portuguese.
You know, I like to be fit and healthy, so the best way I know is to just get out there and run.
Running was an outlet for me to, I guess, feel good about myself and take out some of the angers that were going on in my life.
Sonia O'Sullivan is going to take the world title back to Ireland.
OG squad members Mick, Rojo, Aisling and Anya arranged a get-together for us to do the most important thing the night before any race, and that is the presentation of the jersey. What would a squad be without its own official Irishman Running Abroad jersey? Sonia was on hand, and we got to give them out in front of a packed crowd at an Airbnb at an undisclosed location in Cove.
Now it comes time to present them with the brand spanking new Irishman Running Abroad jersey for 2024. These are a limited edition specifically for this race, and who knows, maybe we'll produce them, but these ones are specially created for the race. And the first one going out to Sonia presents is Danny O'Hare. Miserable members of the team. Oh my God, will we get her to crack a smile? Kira Cullen, everyone.
Once every single member of the squad had received their kit, Sonia, our captain, our coach, our leader, made her address.
It wouldn't be a squad without a captain. This one's for Sonia. So.
Us along here tonight and for coming together, it's great. And you know, for everyone for following the training plans, it's been amazing really to see everybody commit to it and stick to it. And you know, even though I don't see all the comments all week, I hear all about it. It's like I have my spies who tell me what's going on, and it's great to see the progress and to see everybody feeling that they're getting fitter every week, and that they're more and more looking forward to the run or the race tomorrow. I really look forward to see all these singlets out on the course. And hopefully we get all the people at Cove cheering for you as well. And to everybody else who's here, you know, it's fantastic, you know, that everybody has been, you know, with us on this journey on the road to Cove. And you know, we wouldn't be able to do it without everybody has some part to play in this, and it's been fantastic. So have a great day tomorrow, enjoy it, and I'm sure we'll get together afterwards and have even more stories to tell.
Then all that was left to do was to chat to the squad about those nerves that are absolutely unavoidable the night before a race. I know, we've gone from voice notes to meeting in person now. Everybody's in the kit. Sonia's presented the jerseys. It feels very real now, Sandra, doesn't it?
It does. It feels a bit scary, to be honest, but it's really great meeting everyone finally. I think we feel like we know each other already, even though we haven't met, so it's good to actually have faces in the
mix. And you said to me when you walked in, a little bit of anxiety kicking in.
It's very breezy.
It's very windy, yeah.
And the sea looks quite choppy. But look, it's not about tomorrow. I mean, it's been about the whole journey, I think, and about the training and, you know, getting to know everyone. And so it's just the journey. I'm not, tomorrow's just going to, we're just going to enjoy it, I think.
Exactly. I said it during the presentation, the most miserable member of the squad, Ciara Cullen, is here the night before. Are you concerned at all about getting sleep tonight? Because there's a lot of buzz in here.
No, listen, the adrenaline will kick in and we'll get there. It'll be fine. No, I'm normally fine. I got a good night's sleep last night.
Yeah.
And don't they say that? Yeah. The night before, the night
That's
before.
The one. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't have that night's sleep last night at all. So I'm hoping tonight's that night. What are you most concerned about right now?
Am I allowed to be honest? Yeah, I'm not a fan of hills. You know, so
and you did the recce run.
And the Cove 10. I suppose we're all going to have to run under the same conditions. Everyone's going to have to tackle the hills. Maybe it takes the pressure off a PB a little bit because it's going to be windy. Yeah. It's going to be
hilly. All bets are on.
Yeah. So absolutely. I would love a PB on the course. We'll go with that one as opposed to a 10-mile PB. Okay. A course PB.
Jimmy, all set, ready to go in the singlet.
In the singlet.
So suddenly very real.
Absolutely. I was just saying to the others, I mean, at this point, it's just a question of having fun.
What was it like to meet Sonia and have your jersey presented by the GOAT?
Hey, it was just amazing. I mean, I'll be showing those photos to the kids. We'll probably be framing it, you know, putting it on the wall and stuff. And
Special moment.
Absolutely.
And I mean, so much of this isn't even, like as you say, it isn't even about what happens tomorrow.
It's about community.
You've done it.
It's about, and look, thanks to Jarty yourself and Sonia for just building this community. It's a really special group of people. And
so would you recommend it to other people next year if we put together a squad?
100%. I did this Cove race myself 2 years ago, and it was such a special day without being part of the squad. So I'd recommend it to anybody, whether they're in a squad or not.
Brilliant.
It's some fantastic event.
Tom Corcoran is here with me, and now, Tom, you've probably had, it's kind of ironic that you've had the most up and down preparation for this, given how hilly this course is. Where are you at right now?
Fingers crossed now, you know. The back flared up a couple of weeks ago, so I missed a week of training, so the physio worked his magic, so got to the start line.
You're here.
You know, so,
so
looking
you're
forward to it.
Got take the, it 1K at a time.
Take it 1K at a time and just get around. But still, you know, you still want to do this, want to run for the squad and do as well as you can, you know. So
how did it feel to have the jersey presented by the GOAT?
Absolutely magic, incredible, pinch me moment. Like, you know,
absolutely,
it's like,
fantastic.
Here's the jersey, you can run for Ireland now, she says, you know. It's amazing.
There you go.
Well,
look, I look forward to chatting to you at the end, because I remember speaking to you a couple of years ago at this race, and you had the bin bag on before we got down there, and the whole lot.
That was a lovely morning weather wise
so a different ball game tomorrow. Just so great to talk to everybody at this, and the buzz beforehand, it's kind of matched by an anxiety that they can't really articulate, that I guess I felt myself. There's a certain kind of electricity around before a race, and the night before is the one that nobody really talks about. This is what produces people not able to sleep before races, but you can feel it even from the buzz behind me. The people are just delighted to meet Sonia, get the jersey and join the community here in Cove. We'll talk to a few more people now. Han and Mary, you have definitely made the biggest journey to be here. How does it feel to be here at last after all these weeks?
It feels great. We're both excited to be here. We had a great journey over.
It's quite amazing to meet the team. I mean, you really build community. Mm-hmm. And to see all the guys and knowing what you've been running, the other everybody has suffered together. It's phenomenal.
We're all in it together.
It's really
100%. There is. Well, getting here, I think, is the battle, right? We've members of the team who have suffered loss during this journey, who've suffered major injuries that they're clinging together to get through this. So really, tomorrow, as they say, is the victory lap, and I hope both of you enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Danny and Rafe are here. It's so much electricity in the room that you can easily see why people don't get sleep before races, because this kind of a meetup, while calming on one level, it makes you go, oh, Jesus Christ, a lot to think about, a lot of over advice going on down there. Are you getting many tips from people about the hills, lads?
No, well, today was supposed to be my easy day, but after walking the hills of Cove, and we were talking there earlier, I had the three kids in the swimming pool for about an hour and a half. I'm exhausted.
It's a workout.
No, we were talking, like, it's not a distance you do very often, and so there's no real pressure on the time tomorrow. It's just about getting through it. And,
yeah, it's like the three-quarter marathon.
Yeah. Mm.
Who knows what anybody's PB is for that?
Yeah. We can always blame the storm as well.
Exactly.
It was a headwind the whole way.
I said in the WhatsApp group, Rafe, that there is good news, and the good news was that I ran 8K of it today as my easy run, and I mean easy. The first 8K, if the weather stays where it is, if the wind stays where it is, you guys are not going to know the first 8K is gone. Then it becomes an 8K race. How would you feel about your chances there, Rafe?
I think, you know, 8K, as long as the wind isn't against you, I think that should be very, very manageable. I think so.
I mean, there is so much built up about these hills. But what I found for that, what nobody talks about is the first 5K of this thing is essentially downhill. It's like downhill skiing. One of the hills goes down, weaves around a bend, and keeps going. Then you get to the sea at Tuscany. And today I got smashed by a wave over the wall. That's how rough the sea was. So we got to hope it's going to calm down. What is the overall hope for you, Danny?
To enjoy it, if I'm being honest. Now, when you asked that question at the start in January, I told you a time. And then as we got into this thing, I realized that that's not important. You know, and I genuinely mean that. It was getting back from kind of a rut, an exercise rut, and getting back and just getting exercising again, enjoying running. I see this as a stepping stone. And to maybe another race towards the end of the year.
Fantastic.
Something like that. So that's what I see.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, you've achieved that. So you're already winning. What about you, Rafe? What are you hoping for?
Yeah, it's a new race. I've never done it before. It's a new route. I don't think I've ever done a 10-mile race before. So all of those things. And of course, it's at the home of the goat. So, I mean, that's just tops it off for me.
Right, it is mad when you're doing them to go, these are the hills that built her.
Yeah.
This is the loop that she would do.
Yeah.
There's something very special about that. There's loads of little moments in it, including the Ashling Murphy Hill. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, what's your goal tomorrow?
Well, nobody's asked that. That's interesting. You know,
this is a build-up for you,
isn't it? It's a build-up for London for me. You know what? I've done the thing twice, so I'm aware of the errors that can be made, and I'm also aware that there is this sneaky drag before the final 800 metres.
Right.
So my tip to everybody is hold something back.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a wind going sideways tomorrow as you get this drag that seems to go forever. Once you beat that drag, it's down into the town. And my aim, my goal tomorrow, is to sprint that downhill as hard as I can. Forget the rest.
Yeah.
If I get to sprint that and come across the line with the fist in the air,
happy
days.
Not
about looking good, Danny.
Easy.
Lyle and Brian here heading up in the jerseys.
Yeah.
What would you say struck you in the training for this in terms of what she's... Because you've had plans before. I mean, you're a guy that's played a good high level of GAA yourself.
A small bit.
So what was your takeaway from what these plans that she was assigning?
Yeah, well, I suppose a lot of the runs I've done and plans I've done previous have been from books, without really a coach, apart from maybe a few people I'd know from the club in Uber JC. But Sonia's advice was, a lot of the time was kind of keeping yourself in check in terms of the paces you're doing in various sessions.
And
I think that was something that stood to me, that the tendency is to go too hard.
Yeah, check the oven.
Exactly. Yeah. And you'll pay for it in the days following any hard session. So to kind of have one eye on what's coming next as well is something that really stood to Sonia's plan. Yeah.
So tomorrow is like it can get away from you quick here.
I think really it's about getting through for me the first half. There's a few pulls in the first 5 miles.
Right.
Once you get through them, then it kind of levels out for a few miles after that. So hopefully the wind is behind us at that point.
Yeah.
But then I think it's just about keeping things going until we get towards the end, and just looking forward to that.
We'll toast to it in the Roaring Donkey tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Yeah, great. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure to be part of the team. Thank you so much.
Finally, we hear from Adele, who
you may remember from the very first episode of this journey, detailing her story of suffering a stroke in 2023 and coming back to full fitness as a member of the squad.
How was that for you?
Amazing. So a few of us just gathered in the house, just like three doors up, and just Mary opening the door, welcoming us all in. It's like, oh, that's who you are. So great to meet people properly.
People give out about WhatsApp, but the strength of that group.
It is. It's
pretty
great.
Epic.
Yeah.
Now, you've been so great in your training. I've observed it, Sonia's observed it, everyone in the group has marvelled at your commitment and how much you've been doing. But does that come with an anxiety too? Because it's like, this should be no trouble to me. Now it's windy, and even though I've run Mallow, I've still got to cope with these hills.
A little bit. So definitely... first of all, disclaimer, I had a lot of time that people didn't have in the first couple of months and was into a nice rhythm then. So it didn't feel as taxing to do the training and was just something to focus on. So really enjoyed it because after the stroke with the anxiety, when so much feels outside of your control, it's very nice to have a plan and something to be controlled. So that part of it, while others might think that's the tough part, I found just getting out and running was the easy part.
But Adele, you also went back to work.
Yes.
And so that's a big spanner in the works when you have the rhythm going.
Definitely.
You were another ambassador for people who were trying to juggle things and life changes in the process of training for a big event.
Definitely. And that was one of the things I suppose was on my mind the last couple of weeks. Getting back to work, how the managing the fatigue, routines, days being different, getting up early, just having a long day, but still managed to, probably didn't run like 5 or 6 days the way I had been running, but was into a good rhythm with the sessions and that, so 4 and 5 days didn't feel as much of an effort.
You've come through something that none of us could really imagine. Nobody's ever really going to know what it's like to live through what you've lived through. Is tomorrow going to be emotional at all?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know if I'll start crying at the start or at the end, but there'll definitely, maybe along the way, there'll definitely be tears.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've been there where you're just blubbing during the run. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it just will feel a bit surreal, to be honest. Even tonight, it's like, is this actually happening?
A little over 12 hours later, it most definitely was happening. The crowds were gathered, the singlets were ready, the nipples had been lubricated, the gels were in, the sun was splitting the stones. All that was left was for Sonia O'Sullivan to set us on our way. I mean, Sonia, everybody's tearing off at this point, and they really do tear off. Did you see the guy at the front of the line at the race where he was like a sprinter? He was jumping up and down on the spot, ready to light it up, even though he had another 10 miles in front of him.
I actually saw still photos afterwards of people really eager to get going, and you know, with the hands on the stopwatch,
yeah,
and you know, really concentrated on waiting for that gun to go, like they didn't want to be a second late on leaving the start line. You know, especially, and then you know, there's always that thought when you're on a start line like that, and if you're at the front of it, you know, that what if something happens, what if I fall and everybody runs over the top of me. So you know, it is a bit of a mad charge once the gun goes off, and you know, it's a fairly tight starting area as well. And everybody's got to get through the starting gantry. And then, you know, within a minute, everybody probably settles down into their pace.
True.
But yeah, it's just to kind of get that good start and then to, you know, relax. Say, okay, now I got to find this pace that's going to get me around for 10 miles. But I did read a few very funny reports and different things online, and you know, the start of this Cove 10 mile road race, you know, it's always a fast start any race, but then this, the wind was behind and it was also downhill for the first two.
Yeah, I think Danny O'Hare reported back the first kilometer he did was 3:55. He had no intentions of running this pace. We might play that little clip of him and his astonishment at that first bit.
The race for me is broken down into a few chunks from what I have in my memory. Although I have to admit I had to look back at Strava to get the elevation profile. But the first section, when the gun went, and the adrenaline and the atmosphere of it all made the first 10 minutes or so seem really easy. It was a great big downhill section, and being one of the heavier athletes with longer stride length, I found myself passing quite a lot of people. It wasn't until my watch bleeped to 3:55 kilometer that I realized this was definitely too quick. So I tucked back in and let the group catch me again, and decided to try and hang on the coattails of some people and get dragged up the hills.
So the reports you read online was the same thing. The wind behind you, going downhill, you had no option but to go fast.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's that, you know, that rush of adrenaline that everybody gets when they're off the start line. And yeah, you just can't hold back, because if you do, you'll be running. Someone will run over the top of you, and you'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
I was trying to find there now. There was a really good piece that Danny Moore Cove shared yesterday. This is it. It was called 10 Things I Think About Running, and it was this guy from Leevale, and he just went through the whole thing and how he thought about it while he was going around. And to get his name here now, Donal Coakley.
Right, I might include a link.
I did see it,
but I didn't read it. I might include a link
it's
bio.
Very good. Yeah. No, this is the best. And he does this like for. I must go and read a few more now. He did one from when he ran in Killarney as well, but he gave a real good synopsis of, you know, what it felt like from in the field, at the head of the field, and you know, knowing the athletes that are around you, and you know, looking at their strengths and your strengths and your weaknesses, and trying to balance it up without being distracted and losing the run of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stories, isn't there, in it? I think that that's, that story from the front is definitely one that fascinates people, because, you know, most of us aren't at the front. I thought it was really interesting to hear how, you know, Helen Carr said to me that she likes to earwig on conversations that are taking place during the race. It's when the conversation stops, right? That's when you know we're in the thick of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of chat all the way down to the water at Cuskinny. You know, people are feeling good. They've had the wind at their back, the downhill push, the excitement and the adrenaline of, you know, getting started after, you know, waiting there and holding on for a few minutes before everybody is ready to go and the timing clock is ready to go. And, you know, then it's just like this burst of energy that then needs to be contained, you know, because there is quite a long way to go to get to the finish and quite a few undulations along the way as well. And, yeah, I think it is right, like, kind of as you're coming between 2 and 3 miles, that's where it starts to go uphill, and then that's when the reality hits in for most people. It's like, okay, this is the hill here now. And because a lot of people, if they've not run the race before, they won't really know what to expect, and you know, they'll have heard all about it, but then, you know, I'd say for most people The hill hits you like, oh, right, here it is. But then it's not as long as you think.
Yeah.
Particularly when you get to kind of, there's a bend and it continues on, but you actually get to dip down into the Valley Road and then you cruise along there heading for Ballymore and that next hill that leads to the Ashling Murphy mile.
Yeah.
Mile 4, you know, which is then another, there's just like these kind of different things to reflect on and think about, and you can break it up a lot easier than, you know, a purely flat, straight out and back run where you're just looking at mile markers. I think this one, there's little landmarks and things to tick off along the way.
Especially if you're a Cove native, you're seeing friends and old places that you knew. I'm not a Cove native, but I did see our old friend Terry Murphy playing the banjo at the Ashling Murphy point, and it was a lovely moment.
Terry Murphy, Cove legend.
Shout out to Terry Murphy and all the work that he and Heather Sillett put into this race over the years. Great to see him with a smile on his face. Told me he wasn't missing real running at all. He's loving his life as a full-time dad and banjo player doing his stuff. But Ciara Cullen said to me that she did the recce run and it wasn't the uphills that were her concern. It was actually the downhills. We'll play her little voice note here.
I had a bit of a nightmare for the recce. Pete Howie will tell you, and another lovely girl, Helen. We were running down Bird's Hill for the recce, and I nearly face planted. I would have, only that Pete Howie and Helen caught me. So when we got to Bird's Hill yesterday, oh, Jeannie Mac, I was like, Ciara, don't fall. There'll be no one here to pick you up. You're on your own. And I got to the end safely. So, woohoo! Ciara won, Bird's Hill. Actually, Bird's Hill won as well. All right, Ollie.
Good job.
Thank you, Ollie. Say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
So she nearly came a cropper on the downhill at Bird's Hill. Have you ever had a fall down or seen a fall down that hill, Anya? It is pretty steep.
It is pretty steep. And, you know, as much as you want to, you know, lean down the hill and throw yourself down free slow, there's also that urgency to kind of hold back a little bit. So it's a bit of a conflict there, or a catch-22 of, you know, you've got the downhill, which is supposed to, you know, allow you to free fall down, and at the same time you don't actually want to fully fall down, so you have to hold yourself back. But no, I haven't ever seen any falls going down there, but I have seen lots of people come flying past and then other people wondering, oh, how
am
come
I doing
going
this wrong?
So fast?
Yeah.
what am I not doing right here that I need to fix so that I can get that momentum on the way down as well? But I always find when you run down a hill as steep as Bird's Hill, which it would be interesting to see what the gradient of that is, but it's probably in some ways glad you're running down it than up it, because you definitely would not feel good going up there. When you turn the corner and then you're on the flat, you kind of have to find your running kind of the rhythm again, because you know, the jarring of running down such a steep hill can really knock it out of you and bruise your quads, and you know, you just don't feel fantastic after that. You have to find yourself again as you're heading into the last third of the race.
Very, very true. I mean, your legs are a little bit zapped by throwing all that power into the ground and maybe not getting a whole load back. In fact, I have to say I found those flatter sections slightly harder than the hills. At least you kind of got a job to do when you're going up the hill. You know what you're at. There were a lot of mentions of Fred Flintstone in the voice notes I received afterwards. A lot of yabba-dabba-doing, shortening the step and spinning the feet to get up there. And in fact, going down the hills, we haven't mentioned the wind yet. The wind was actually propping you up, I found. Now, you're walking it. you're walking it, Sonia. Are you... is this your first time walking it during the race? And what kind of a view do you get of people and what's going on when you're walking it?
Yeah, well, the reason that I wanted to walk it and to walk it in the way that we did was so that I could see the race unfold. So I could see the start And then we kind of took the local route to so that we could actually watch the leaders come past us and see who was leading and how it was unfolding, and then to, you know, see all the different groups of people come along. So it was really great to see the race unfold like that, and then to be able to join into the masses as we came in on the high road and down into the town. And I was trying to predict when you would come past, and I kind of had thought, it's probably, because we hadn't seen you up to the point we did, that it was most likely going to be right as you went down that steep, or not steep, but nice downhill into the town. And that's right when you came past. And you were having a chat and relaxed. And there was no panic about sprinting down that downhill. I think you're saving a bit of energy for London this year.
For sure, for sure. I mean, Vinnie Mulvey needs to get a shout out now for the plans that he's been given, that while you've been giving out these plans to our squad of Maria Lennon, Niall McLaughlin, Danny O'Hare, Tom Corcoran, Han Vanderloo, Mary Vanderloo, Joe Marr, Maria Lennon, Neil McLaughlin, Niall McLaughlin, Brian Barry, Adele Buckley, Sandra Busteed, Kira Cullen, Ralph Cunningham, Jim Gibney, and Ricardo Guglielminotti. Vinny has been giving me my London training plan, and he did not inform me, Sonia, that the plan here was for me to run this thing on very tired legs. Because I definitely woke up the morning of this thing and thought, how am I going to run 10 miles, a lot of it uphill today? But the benefit of that is obviously immeasurable, isn't it? That if you had a tough time out there, what would you say to people who ran Cove and felt like, oh, it was hard, hard day at the office? There must be immense gains to be found in that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was a hard day for running. You know, as much as we had, you know, blue skies, sunshine and no rain, there was still quite a bit of wind around the place. And that definitely doesn't make for easy running. And it would probably affect some people more than others. Some people probably got a little bit of a ride if they had... if they were looking...
We'll just leave that there. I want to give a shout out here to a couple of people who I spotted around the course. Andy Tracy, of course, flew in from London specifically just to cheer on the squad. He got some unbelievable footage and photos. Because not everybody has a Tina and Mikey on the sideline shooting slow-mo shots of them going by. Andy Tracy was there shooting shots for the whole squad, as was Ricardo's wife, who got some killer photos along the way. Maura Nigonal needs a shout-out as well. She recently completed her marathon in Spain. I think it was Seville. She ran a great time overall. Let's talk a little bit about that drag into town that I said to people I have nightmares about, because you think it's all behind you, don't you, Sonia? You think coming into that point of where I met you was, it's done and dusted there. But just before that, as you take the turn towards Cove, this drag into town that I could not get out of my head from the year before, where it just feels never ending, this little rise to the cafe, wasn't that bad this year, because as you said, we had the wind on our back.
You did. You had the wind on your back when you kind of turned up past the train station there at Rushbrook. And, you know, it was definitely the final straight in, which is a very long straight, before you start to sense the downhill that, you know, gives you that added little bit of a boost again. I think the hard work was definitely done at that point. And for anyone who hadn't totally exhausted themselves running into the wind and trying to keep up listening to the conversations around them, then I think it was a very nice finish this time, and it always is. And I think that's the thing that brings a lot of people back to Cove, is that the finish is so nice and so full of energy, and it was like really great crowds out on Sunday. I think probably because of the storm Kathleen that was going past the day before, had kept a lot of people inside and not out, that they were all excited to get out, and with good reason to come and cheer for the runners. that they only remember the last bit of the race and quite quickly forget the hardships out on the course, the uphill, the windy bits, the struggles. And, you know, it's that thing that, you know, you feel you don't feel great during it, but you feel great afterwards.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of the Leaving Cert. All you can remember from the Leaving Cert is the struggle and not actually getting the results. By the time they arrive, you're like, oh God, I'm done with this. But there is a kind of a quality to this challenge that is the Cove 10 that kind of forgives all the sins of the course. I certainly crossed the line and thought, I definitely do that again. I bumped into an awful lot of people afterwards. We'll hear a couple of those conversations now.
Hi, how are you feeling?
Not great. Great.
Jimmy Gibney here with me.
Yeah. Absolutely thrilled. Absolutely thrilled with it.
Isn't it the most marvellous challenge of a course?
And you know what? The wind was behind us on the uphills. And it was in our faces.
But I tried to tell you last night.
Yeah.
Really nice. Yeah. And the run-in is just the dream.
Actually, the last 2 miles were kind of tough because we're just spent at that stage.
Yeah,
But it was delightful.
You too, John. Congratulations.
Oh, and Fegan, how
are you?
Fucking
hell.
How did
you
find that?
Better than last year.
Better than last year.
Yeah, I did about 85 last year, I think 81 this year.
Yeah, well, look,
set off way too quick.
But it's such a fun course. I'm here
beautiful.
With Steve and Paddy as well, who ran it with me. I mean, what crack.
Ah, that was enjoyable. That was very enjoyable.
I know, Paddy, you didn't feel you had it in the legs, but we kind of kept each other together.
Yeah, very good. No, I really enjoyed that.
When one person was flagging, we pulled each other
along. Strong performance now.
Yeah, fantastic.
You know what? You can't beat running with mates.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Jan is here. How are you doing? Jan and Dermot, I'm recording everybody as they fly through here. How'd you feel, Jan? I know you had a lot of injuries this year.
Yeah, my groin popped again on 9K. Oh. And then on
never a good sign when your groin makes a popping noise.
Yeah, and then on the other side in 12, so...
Oh, man. Rojo!
Oh, Jesus.
The social secretary for the Irishman Running Abroad. Well done.
Well done.
How do you feel that went? I saw you walking up a hill. I was like, that's a smart man.
No, I don't know if it was smart or not. Sometimes you do a race to test where your fitness is. I tested where my fitness wasn't. Wrecked. Found it so tough. But it was a fantastic race.
You didn't run a bad time.
No. I'm delighted. Glad to finish, to be honest. But
we'll see you at the after party.
So, Sonia, the winner of the women's race, Michelle Finn, you present her with her teddy bear, courtesy of Mary DeBarra. She gets another shout out. The beautiful Sonia O'Sullivan Cove 10 teddy bear, which we are now, I think we're going to include it in a goodie bag that we're going to give away very soon. This is maybe one of the most sought after teddy bears in running today.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually Mary's daughter, Olivia DeBarra, who makes these fine teddy bears, and maybe we can get her to make one in the Irishman Running Abroad colours.
Might be we're talking.
We could tempt her to doing something like that, and then maybe we can do something special for everybody, you know, not just the squad but everybody who's been a part of this journey, you know, this year, last year, the year before, and you know, I suppose made the group what it is and the community that it is that gets people to Cove each year. It just seems to be a more fun time every year. The planning and the preparation and the get together, you know, before the race, after the race, it's just a fun event for people to, you know, look forward to each year.
Yeah, it's expanding. And of course, I'm drinking right now from the fabled Sonia O'Sullivan Cove 10 mug. Official finisher's mug for 2024. So if ever there's a reason to come down next year, it's this. But the other reason to come down is, of course, the get-together at the Roaring Donkey, which takes place afterwards. And that's where we'll go now, where I have a quick chat with Sonia and we present our awards for the day. The icon that brought us all here today, that links it all together, is the greatest Irish athlete of all time. She's sitting in this room, and she also set the world record for the 10-mile road race many moons ago. Will you please give it up for Sonia O'Sullivan?
a lot of goodies in the bag, Sonia, to be handed out later on when we do a few awards. Because in case you don't know it, Sonia and I make a running podcast called An Irishman Running Abroad. Sonia, you didn't run it today. Which was harder, not running the race you love so much and seeing people run by you, or coaching families on Ireland Fittest Family and thinking, what the fuck are these guys doing?
I was thinking maybe this year I'll get some of those Irish Fittest Families and bring them to Cove next year and see how they do.
That's a great idea. Let's do that. Yeah.
So that's my next plan of action anyway. We're always looking for new ideas. And so I had a plan and I said we would take the local route, you know. So I don't know if anyone else who was running now took the local route.
Well, this is the thing. Not too many people in here tonight are going, oh man, I ran so fast. Everybody's talking about the wind, right? And I think it does need to be said that the world record that you set for the 10-mile road race was in Portsmouth. And you always dismiss or maybe play down that world record by saying it was very windy that day. But as we all know today, that is a double-edged sword, right? So while you would have had the wind behind you on some of that, you would have had it in your face a lot of the way in Portsmouth.
A fair bit, yeah, but I think it definitely was one of the calmer days in Portsmouth. There was, by all accounts,
could be a lot worse.
Nobody got close since, you know.
Well, I wonder, could anybody in the room guess what that time was that she ran for the 10-mile road race, the world record that she set those years ago? Just to make you feel bad about your own time tonight. It was 51 minutes flat. Just. That's a round of applause, I think. Yeah. Sonia also coached a group of our listeners, the Irishman Running Abroad listeners, handpicked from the emails that she received. She single-handedly went through each and every email received. What was it like to see those tricolour jerseys go by you, walking along and seeing everyone, all different levels, running their hearts out today?
Yeah, that was really good to see that. It was great to have everybody's names on the back of their jerseys. But it was great, and to have the jerseys on time for today was fantastic. Yeah. And even more to see the Ballymore Cove jerseys go by. There was plenty of them
there
as well.
Plenty of them. Shout out Ballymore Cove.
Probably all thanks to Mary DeBarra's coaching up the track.
Yeah, let's have a round of applause for Mary DeBarra.
Not a factor for any of those runners, because rain or shine or whatever the weather, they are up that track on a Tuesday and Thursday night. So if anyone wants to join them, I'm more than welcome to get up there. I think it's 7 o'clock, is that right?
7 o'clock on a Tuesday.
And a lot of fun. I visit them on occasion.
So you mentioned there that you would consider bringing Donegal O'Callaghan and Nina Carberry and getting their families down here next week, next time. Is that something everybody be up for? Get the Irish Fittest Family? Well, that's the challenge for you next year, to get them down there. Would we ever get Sophie down here to run this?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe not anytime in the near future, but okay. Maybe in a few years' time, yeah. She's got a few shorter races on the track to do, but yeah, I think she's focusing on the 1 mile, yeah, not the 10 mile.
She's trying to stay fit and stay injury-free. She won, obviously, a huge prize here. Well, we've got a few awards to give out here ourselves. That is what is in the goodie bag. Sonia, there is one story that kind of stands out among the squad. It's somebody who came through the most difficult medical situation, who, you know, rose from the ashes after suffering a stroke, got back into training. We told the story on the podcast. We heard the email that you read. So it's only fitting that the award for resilience in the Irishman Running Abroad squad for 2024 goes to...
Edel Buckley. When I was going to run today, and
so when are you going to cry? This is the moment. Right. Yeah. One more time, everybody. Adele Buckley.
A lot of people, when you are sick, they say, oh, I hope you get better soon. And I really took that into the way I was going to live my life for when I was in the hospital, and I said, do you know what? I'm going to get better, and I'm going to get better at everything.
I should say the full list of winners on the night for our awards for excellence in the field of excellence. The award went to Rojo, Aisling Byrne, Michael Kinahan and Anya Murphy. Most committed athletes was won by Han and Mary van der Loo. The Comeback Kid Award of 2024 went to Maria Lennon. Shout out to all of these people. The Spirit of the Club Award for 2024 went to Kira Cullen. That's it. That's another Cove in the books. I hope you will join us next year. As you can hear, it isn't just a race. It's a full-on experience. Book your Airbnb. Reserve your place as soon as they announce it. It's just one of those very special things that even if you're not running it, it is a magical weekend to enjoy down on the coast. I think we can safely say now that it doesn't matter what the weatherman says. Sonia O'Sullivan personally guarantees blazing sunshine next year in 2025. I want to say a huge thanks to Tina and Mikey, to Sonia herself, to all of the people at the Cove, at Ballymore Cove Athletic Club, to Breakthrough Cancer Research, and anybody that played even a small part in making this weekend what it was. This squad was a very special collection of people, and we'll have to do it all again next year. I hope you'll come along for the ride. In a week's time, I am heading off to London for the London City Marathon. We'll have a big London City Marathon special episode coming your way very soon. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you then.
Huge thanks to both yourself, Jarlath, and to Sonia for allowing me to be part of this whole experience, which I won't forget.
It was just so much fun and great to meet yourselves as well and to get to spend time with you. And thanks very much for everything. Fantastic.
And the finish is just brilliant. And, you know, crossed the finish line like a champion. So we had a fantastic time. Thank you for all that you've done.
I just wanted to say thanks to both of you. Firstly, I suppose, for letting me part of this this journey, I suppose, really, with the squad. I suppose, looking back on it, I went from a situation where back in November, I was literally running 5 minutes around my garden. And fast forward a few months and I'm running Cove and running solidly and really enjoying running again. I think Sonia's advice and sense came through the whole time. And I suppose, you know, one thing that always stand out for me, seeing a kudos from Sonia after doing a run is something special and something that I think a few of us have definitely screen grabbed those kudos and will cherish them for a long time to come.
I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to be part of this special squad, and it really exceeded my expectations. I hope to become a stronger, more confident runner, and I did. I learned more about training and testing and pushing my own limits. The best part, really, it was so fun, so special to finally meet the squad. I felt an immediate friendship, kinship with them, and that I think will continue. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience all around. Thanks so much.
I was in a bit of a slump exercise wise and needed something to keep me going again, and the weekly training plans from Sonia certainly did that. Just the accountability and the camaraderie within the group spurred me on to get back to a level of fitness that I never thought I'd achieve in such a short period of time. Onwards and upwards from here. I'll definitely be back in Cove again and looking forward to seeing how we can carry this momentum in the group forward.